Disagreement is common, and at times disagreement seeks resolution. That is why there are courts. But truth is best discovered only when the two parties in disagreement are discussing the matter in the presence of one another. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 152, a mitzvah's advice for the internet age. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is something we all know to be true. People are often different versions of themselves when they are addressing others online rather than in person. This was discussed in an article some years ago in the Wall Street Journal by Elizabeth Bernstein. Bernstein writes, quote, "Why are we so nasty to each other online? Whether on Facebook, Twitter, message boards, or websites, we say things to each other that we would never say face-to-face. Shouldn't we know better by now? Anonymity is a powerful force. Hiding behind a fake screen name makes us feel invisible as well as invincible. Never mind that, on many websites, we're not as anonymous as we think, and we're not anonymous at all on Facebook. Even when we reveal our real identities, we still misbehave." End quote. Why, then, is rudeness a phenomenon that is made manifest online, even when the identity of the typer, the poster, is known? The answer, to utilize a phrase from this article that I cited, is that we are different when we are not face-to-face. To encounter another human being is to encounter someone made in the image of God. This is the grounding for human dignity and for the obligations that we owe that person. When that person, when that human being, when that creation in God's image is not before us, then we do not sense our obligations to him or her in the same way, though of course our obligations remain the same. Thus, the Wall Street Journal article further tells us, quote, "Why are we often so aggressive online? Consider this recent post to this column's Facebook page from someone I don't know. Why should I even bother writing you? You won't respond. We're less inhibited online because we don't have to see the reaction of the person we're addressing," says Sherry Turkle, psychologist and Massachusetts Institute of Technology professor of the Social Studies of Science and Technology. "Because it's harder to see and focus on what we have in common, we tend to dehumanize each other," she says. Astoundingly, Dr. Turkle says, many people still forget that they're speaking out loud when they communicate online. Especially when posting from a smartphone, you are publishing, but you don't feel like you are, she says. So what if you say, "I hate you" on this tiny little thing? It's like a toy. It doesn't feel consequential. End quote. But of course, it is consequential. We act differently when a person made in God's image is not before us. But the wounding is the same. Or if publicly done, the wounding is even more profound. The sin is more profound. All we have done is utilize the convenience of not being in that person's presence in order to negate our feeling of obligation, our sense of all that we owe this particular person. It is with this article's insights that we can ponder a fascinating interpretation of several verses in the Torah. First, there is our mitzvah for the day, Exodus 23, verse 1. Lo tisa shema shav. Four words which are difficult to translate precisely, but can be read as, "You shall not inspire a hearing that is untrue," meaning you shall not facilitate something false being said. There is, along with this prohibition, a parallel positive commandment, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, from something that is false, make sure that you are far away, Exodus 23, 7. Both of these, on the face of it, are merely about objecting to forms of falsehood and ensuring that you do not take part in them. But in medieval countings of the commandments, which are built on earlier rabbinic writings, we find a fascinating interpretation of what it means to facilitate something that is untrue. For the rabbis, this is violated by a court if they are hearing a case and accept an argument from one litigant without the litigant that is on the other side being present. This is even violated by the litigant if he or she makes an argument before the court, before the Beit Din, without the other litigant being present. Why? The assumption is that if the person with whom one is in an argument is not in front of you, then one might be tempted to make a case that is less than fully true. Thus, the medieval compilation of the commandments known as Sefer HaChinuch writes as follows. This is the Sefaria translation, and this is the 74th mitzvah that the author counts. Quote, to not hear the claim of a litigant when it is not in front of his fellow litigant, that the judge not hear the claim of one not in front of his adversary, as it is stated, Exodus 23:1, you shall not raise a false report. And the reason is because people will speak idle words when not in front of their adversary, and the judge is commanded about this, so that he does not bring the untruths of one of them into his soul. And he adds a bit after, citing earlier rabbis, and they also said there that it is also a warning to the litigant, for him too, not to make his claims to the judge not in front of his adversary, and even if the judge wants to hear it. And about this it is also said, Exodus 23:7, from a false matter, distance yourself. End quote. We are called to ponder, in other words, by these commandments, how we act when it comes to another with whom we are upset if we are not in front of that person's presence. Disagreement is common, and at times disagreement seeks resolution. That is why there are courts. But truth is best discovered by a third party only when the two parties in disagreement are discussing the matter in the presence of one another to this judge. For we do at times speak differently about another when we are not in his or her presence. Of course, all this from a perspective of faith asks an obvious question. Wherever we are in someone's presence, a presence that is all-knowing, all-seeing, one that at times we tend not to think of. That presence is eternal, yet we often ignore it. Thus, when the great rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed and his students asked him for a blessing, he responded, may you fear the Almighty as much as you fear those of flesh and blood. To which his students responded, we should only fear the Almighty as much as one of flesh and blood. And he in turn said, if only you feared God that much. We in turn are obligated by this mitzvah to ponder those in our lives created in God's image. In his book Civility, law professor Stephen Carter argues that only religion can bring about a renewal of civility in public life because it is the concept of imago Dei, of the sanctity of the soul that is in the image of God, that can inspire how we act toward another. The difficulty is that in today's society, it is so easy to speak about another, to write about another, to text about another, and to send emails about another when we are not in their presence. It is therefore our age to which the mitzvah of this episode gives us a warning and wisdom. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.